We're talking with Mrs. Robert Lowry today. It is the 8th of January, 2001. We are in the Angie DeBow Room of Special Collections and University Archives at Oklahoma State University. It's approximately 1:20 in the afternoon.
Born in Oklahoma City, of course. I lived there my whole life until I came to Oklahoma State. Graduated 4 years. Got married. And then we started our teaching career.
You and your husband?
And my husband did. And he first taught at, he was here at a graduate school, and the NYA had these programs for, they were night programs for adults. And we went to Wetumpka for about 6 months, and then the program was at Discontinue. And so then we came back up here, and I had all the help. And he went to teach in Bonita for a year, and then we moved to Guthrie for a year. And then Panhandle State, he was working on a master's still. And Panhandle State at Goodwill offered him a job. And we went out there to fly. We thought we were going to the ends of the world. We almost turned around and came back.
Oh.
But we went on and we enjoyed it out there. But now the dust storm, my first recollection of those was a teacher's meeting, I suspect that was in the fall of 38.
I want to interrupt. What year did you move out there?
In 37.
37.
Right, 36, excuse me. And stayed and wanted to move out there. And he went to teacher's meeting, but fortunately the group he went with came home that night. And the little house we lived in, our bedroom was just off the living room. Mm-hmm. And there were two windows up above there. I mean, they were high windows. And I woke up and I smelled dust. Because we'd always heard of Black Sunday. I'm not sure that was Easter Sunday of the year before. I looked around the corner and I saw this under the curtains. The dust was just flowing down. Not all boy, it's hit. So anyway, we had a president. Well, first everybody, first of all, we just kind of cleaned it up with wet rags and put wet rags in front of the doors and stuff like that. Well, then eventually we put masking tape. Every place we started the base at the floorboard and came up even around the little quarter round and all the way up and around the window, any place there was a possible opening, we put that.
Did that seem to work?
It helped. We had Ed Morrison was the president. Incidentally, he built these, came back here and was one that instigated these apartments that are just off of Hall of Fame. And he decided we could caulk the windows. So the university got caulking guns, and we all barred it and started to do the same thing we did with the masking tape, and that helped a lot. We only left one window in the house open. And at times when the dust storms were really bad, you couldn't even see your neighbor's house. You know, it was just one of those things. And what we did for social life, the faculty had their men's club and women's club, and we'd have a dinner 1 month, and they'd have a dinner. We all went up to campus for dinner, regardless of whether people just tolerate that sort of thing. In fact, in the afternoon, we tied up our head and went over to somebody's house and played bridge. Those women that did, just something to do. And one time I was standing in the backyard hanging up clothes, and out here in the west, the dust was rolling in. That was the way we lived. But we got used to it and just kind of went on our way.
Did you take your laundry in the house when you saw a dust storm coming?
Huh?
When you were hanging up your laundry, you saw a dust storm, you take it all down, take it inside?
They're more or less back of our house, just kind of a vacant, they're farms and stuff like that. But there's just the dust was just blowing up there. You knew you better get the clothes in because it wasn't any good. You'd do them over again. So I don't know. But the town didn't have much. There was a grocery store, and when we first moved there was a pharmacy, but it went out of business.
That was Goodwill.
Uh-huh.
So you were living right in Goodwill there.
Uh-huh. Right in town. And then there was a post office. And eventually, he built this, Ed Morrison, he was very innovative. He built a men's dormitory and a women's dormitory, and you couldn't open the windows. They had it was just water, you know, air conditioning those days was just water air conditioning. And he had those on the roof with fans and stuff. We didn't suffer too much, I don't think. And in town, there wasn't anything but the grocery store and the pharmacy and the post office and there was a filling station and the garage. And rather than pull, if we didn't have a garage, they stored them in the garage downtown near the filling station. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we had crank phones. You probably never saw one.
Just in the antique stores.
You what?
Just in the antique store.
Yeah, well, they had, that's all we had. And my husband said, why do you need a telephone? You can just yell across town. I don't think I really had one until our daughter, I have to think about it, got scarlet fever, and I was quarantined. And he had to move down to the hotel and stay down there during that period of quarantine.
So when was that?
I don't remember what year it was, but it's during this period between that and 47. I think I'm right on that. Because we came back during the war years. He was, what do they call it, 4A or whatever.
Yeah, 4F.
4F. And we figured, my family lived in Oklahoma City, so we figured I would go back there if he was called in. So we got this offer during these service schools that were here on campus, like they had the WAVE, the WAVES, and then they had some of the Air Force, I think it was. And he, of all things, he was a business teacher, but he taught speech. Harry Anderson's Space Department, and he had been a debater in college. So Harry asked him to come back and teach that. And eventually he taught some typing and stuff like that to the service. Yeah. And we stayed down here. We came in the middle of the year, and we came down here and stayed that far that year and the next year, and then we had a chance to go back to Goodwill since he didn't have a permit job here. And we were there for 1 year. I laughed when we went back. All this dust that was over the fences and everything all flattened out, and it was beautiful green, and I said they should have paid us to leave.
Because it looked so much better when you came back.
Yeah, it was so much better off. But we only stayed there 1 year, and then he got a permit job here on campus in the school business. And I was trying to think what else.
When you moved to Goodwill for the first time, and you started experiencing the dust storms and things. Uh-huh. Did you regret your decision to move out there? Did you want to move back?
I don't think we did particularly. We didn't like it, of course, but we more or less made our own entertainment and stuff like that. And I don't know if I ever regretted it, because you had to have a job to live on those days. Mm-hmm. That was kind of depression era.
You said you almost turned around.
Well, that was when they were going out there to apply for the job. When you grew up in Oklahoma City, as I did, he and old Moggy.
You head out there.
And you got out there and you thought, gee whiz, about Alpha, and you thought, boy, this is the end of the world.
It still looks like that, you know?
Yeah, I know it does. Except the roads are better.
You're right.
See, it used to take us all day when you come down my family for Christmas or vacation or something like that. Now, I think you can make it pretty fast, because it's all paid. Mm-hmm. But we used to go to Amarillo in the fall and in the spring to shop, since we didn't have a place to shop. Diamond had some places, but not very much at that point. Now, I know I haven't been out there for a long time, but I know Diamond has expanded completely. It will be a different place as far as I know now. But it was an interesting life, because when the grocery store, he used to go do his buying, and he'd buy some things like gifts and things like that. When that all came in, we'd rush down there to look through the boxes to see what we wanted. You see, we didn't have much to do. But then he built, I told you about those dormitories, they had an apartment there for the house director, and so we had a chance and we moved up there with our daughter. And it was just a living room and a bedroom and an office area. And they had a little bed, day bed in there that our daughter slept on.
So you just have one daughter?
Uh-huh.
How old was she? Was she born already when you moved to Goodwill?
No, she wasn't in school yet when we moved to Goodwill. I don't know how old. I'd have to stop. She was born in 1933, you figured out.
Okay.
And I don't know, it just, it was an interesting life, I thought. And of course, the doctors we had to go to, they were Goodwill, I mean Guymon, and the one in hospital in Guymon had to go to Liberal, Kansas. She had appendicitis 1 year, and so we went to Liberal, Kansas for that. But they had the NYA during that period also, and I taught child care in one class in Colding, and we had kind of a nursery school and for the little children in town. There weren't many kids in town, frankly. With her group, there was one. The president had a son, and there's one girl that was, but she lived out in the country. So life for her wasn't as interesting. It could be other children that had lots of friends and stuff like that. So I don't know, but it was a different type of life. I always said I'm glad we went there, but I didn't want to go back.
Why would you say that you were glad you went
because
there?
Because we just had a nice situation of friends and getting together, and we lived close enough together that we could be together. In fact, I think we even had we had bridge parties that Hooker and Guymon and the women there, and since I had the dormitory, I had a big living room, and some groups would go together, and we'd pay back our debts by having women from these out of town come down there. And it was a different social life. You had friends in Guymon and Hooker and places like that, and locally we just entertained ourselves.
Are you still in contact with those people, those women you used to hang out with and play bridge?
Most of them are not. A lot of them aren't living, frankly. Yeah. In fact, the president and his wife are both dead. The Morrisons aren't living, either one of them. And my closest friend lived in New Mexico after that, and she isn't living. And just, you know, time goes on.
Yeah.
Right. Whether you want it to or not.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps moving on.
Yeah.
Did you have most of your friends there at Goodwill in the school? Was it an academic circle of friends that you had?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's about all there was in town.
Right, just the school.
Uh-huh. There were people in town, but they didn't, I wouldn't say they're country people, but they just couldn't do the things we did.
Was there animosity between the school people and the townspeople at all?
We were very friendly.
You just moved in different circles a little bit.
Yeah, just different circles.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And I don't imagine they played bridge or anything like the rest of us did.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Had to do something.
Yeah.
There wasn't a movie theater in town. I think maybe there was a Guymon one, but we never did go up there. Mm-hmm. I think it's about 10 miles away of Goodwill.
Did you have to tell your daughter anything about when there was a dust storm? Was she ever like scared or anything? You had to explain to her.
Yeah. I don't think about it at all.
Just little kids, they don't really care.
She just grew up with it.
Yeah.
See, the house we had lived, it was on a point. There was a street that went back of us and one that went in front of us. And the school was right there across, the road went by the school. You'd either go by that way or that way. And she didn't go there about 1 year, I don't think. So I don't know what. I guess she was just used to it.
Yeah.
Because she was small and it just, we all just accepted it.
Yeah.
You do those things. But now, if we'd been out on a farm, that would be a different story. I think you see these fences where the dust just, you could drive over them if it's there.
Yeah.
Because you're liable to sink and you won't get up. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think my husband was out showing it, my father, something, and they got stuck in the sand or dust. Because the roads, just piled up. But one of the things that I remember most, Mr. Myron being a debater and that sort of thing all through high school and college, he would make graduation speeches. And we were going to Boys City, and that was the end of the world. And I said, oh, it's going to rain. You saw this dark cloud over there. It got closer, and I said, that isn't rain, that is dust. And that was one of those black ones. And the highway was being worked on, and we just stopped because you couldn't see where you're going. And besides, since the highway was not very good condition, we'd go far enough to a crossroad and drive off. So we did. And as we went out to this intersection, somebody's white chicken had blown out. They were all over the road. So then that was basketball country, too. When we turned off the road, we were at the hill back there, and this man came down with his lantern, wanted to know if we needed help. And that's the kind of people you had out there. Another man had been to a basketball game. When he had pickup, he stopped and asked if we had a problem. And we told him about the white chickens, and that was a relative of his. So, as we finally decided we'd just come home, but they wouldn't have graduation that night, the man was out picking up his chicken. Didn't seem to bother him at all. I think I'd been angry, but he didn't seem to be. He just picked him up and moved on his way. But I believe that's the most vivid memory of the dust storms I have. Because that was really a black one. We sat in the car for over an hour and couldn't see each other. And we were just side by side.
What time of day was it?
It was toward evening. See, the commencement was probably about 7:38.
Yeah.
And we were on our way. But it was black as night. It finally let up and we could get home, but that was one of the worst ones. You just don't know whether somebody come along and hit you or not.
Yeah.
So, but it just amazed you. The people like that would come down from the hill on his farm, see if you had a problem. Another man had been at a basketball game and he would stop. The man picked up his chickens and they were alive, but that's the funny part about it. You'd think they'd be dead.
Yeah. With all the dust and everything else.
Huh?
With all the dust blowing and storm and everything
else. Just the wind. Just picked them up. They always said it was, they plowed under too much land, but I don't know where that, I'm not an agriculturist, so I couldn't say about that. Also, Mr. Morrison decided they need to irrigate, and so they had water underneath the ground, you know, someplace down below where there's a stream of water, and he pumped it out and created a reservoir, and they irrigated the fields. Mm-hmm. And they had some crops there on campus. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the area, acres of the university owned. So,
how did your life change when you moved from Oklahoma City to Goodwell? Did it, the quality of life, did it kind of go down because you were living out there at the end of the earth, or did it go, I mean, you know, did it go up because you had jobs and everything?
I don't know that it did. Of course, I'd have died if I couldn't have been home for Christmas with my family. If I was out there by myself, my husband wouldn't have cared. He just would stay there or not. But I was the kind that, I was a family person.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things.
I would guess that you wouldn't have access to, like, grocery stores or food, or that aspect would change.
Well, there was a pretty nice grocery store in town.
Yeah?
Tom Rayburn had the grocery store, and he was a character. Anytime, another one of my favorite ones, too, you can't buy them now. He would, if you're going to make vegetable soup, he'd insist, and you want a soup bone, he'd insist you had this soup bone, and he'd smack soup, and you had to have some soot. Nowadays, you better get sure to make good soup. Nowadays, we don't eat that sort of food.
No.
But it was interesting. I don't know. But people like that, he isn't living either, and I don't think any of his family is. The boys, he had several boys, and they used to work in the grocery store, but I don't know what they're doing now. They may not be living. You know, you just don't know when you don't go back. Now, this one woman I told you about, Juanita, her name was Ricewood, but I can't think. Right now, I can't get her name. I could have told you yesterday. But she grew up in, I don't remember if it was Tyrone, but the family, she lived there all her life. Mm-hmm. So people like that probably know more stories than I do.
But I think that it's interesting to see what you thought of going out there,
yeah,
and rather than being born there and living there the whole,
yeah,
time. So.
Yeah. You know, they just grew up with that type of,
right.
I don't know where you say death of life, but farmers do get together, I guess.
Yeah.
I never was a farm lady. That's not my choice of activity.
You have a whole different perspective on it.
I was a city girl.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you weren't afraid of the dust storms.
Huh? I mean,
you weren't afraid of them, were you? Or did you have,
I was afraid of them.
Like a lot of people move to Oklahoma, they're terrified of tornadoes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
true.
But you didn't seem to be terrified of things.
No.
Like that.
When we come home to Oklahoma City, you go downtown. Of course, that was downtown. You didn't have these shopping centers then. And when you go down there, somebody would say, is the dust still blowing? I'd say, I don't think it's blowing. That was an honor, but to me, it was not a dust storm.
Right.
There was, you know, we may have sometimes here when you see a little be kind of dusty, but not like that.
You'd be like that.
No, nothing like that. But no, as I said, I'm glad we went through it, but I don't want to go back. There's a I think it'd be a whole different story now. The faculty is larger, the school is larger, mm-hmm. and they have. See, they built faculty houses. There was no housing. There's one house we had, and I think there were two or three others that were rent houses. We didn't own the house, we just rented it.
Mm-hmm. Was it school owned? Mm-hmm. Your house in Goodwell, was it school owned?
No, I think no, the lady that owned it lived next door. She was one of those people who you didn't want to cross her.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, it was interesting. It's a time. It's a different time in your life. Mm-hmm. When you grew up in Oklahoma City, it came here when Oklahoma A&M was near as big as it is now. Mm-hmm. And Whitehurst was just across the... Well, I lived as Azalea Toilet Path. And you could see Whitehurst, right? Well, first we were down on University there, where the chapel is now, the president's uh-huh. home was there. And we lived across from that. And then they built a new one. And we lived across from Theta Pond. And you could see Whitehurst and everything. And, of course, that's a different story. When all I was here was wore high heels and still talking to school. it's just, I grew up in them. I guess you'd say it. Early age. Of course, I'm 89 years old, so I've been around a little while. As far as the Depression goes, it didn't affect my family particularly because my father was sending mails in Oklahoma City Post Office, and the governor was the first, last one to raise the pay and the first, last one to lower the pay. So the Depression didn't hit us too badly.
Yeah.
But other than those girls out there, well, there were some men too, young men. I think they worked on the college farm and stuff like that. Well, even the faculty, during the summertime, sometimes they'd be out there run the plows.
On the college farm.
On the college farm. So, as I say, it was just, we all knew each other. And
did you ever do that, run the plow on the college farm?
No, I never did that.
Did you ever want to?
No, I don't think I wanted to get on one of those things, but it's just, I did one summer run the cafeteria, manage the cafeteria. Of course, it wasn't as big as anything like we have here, but I can't remember why I did it, how it come I was doing it, but Mr. Morrison asked me to do it. I did it one summer, and he liked to raise some sheep, and the kids didn't like mutton. So he disguised it by putting meatloaf and seasonings. People don't like mutton, and I don't particularly myself as far as that goes, but you had to do something. And he always figured that the boys would be happy if they could always have plenty of beans. So you'd have a big tray of baked beans or some kind of beans, and those farm boys come up there and just pile those beans on their plate. really, these kids nowadays probably wouldn't do that. Maybe some boys would. I don't know. You know where I would.
I like beans.
But a man would just take a whole bunch of them to fill up. And bread. He wanted to have bread, too. Those are the two things that he insisted that in the cafeteria they could have all they wanted.
Beans and bread. And no mutton. No mutton.
No. Well, I don't think they would eat it, but I know that was what he... Mr. Morrison wants to do is to cover it up.
Right, make it into this meatloaf and stuff.
I don't know. He was a very innovative person. Like I said, he got those dormitories built and sealed the windows.
Had air conditioning going for him? Or no, water?
It was water air conditioning.
Right.
We didn't have that kind of air conditioning in those days.
Right.
I don't think anybody had a window air conditioner with water.
Oh, no.
Hmm. In fact, we had it here. The first we ever had it was that kind. A big one sat on the window.
Right, they call them swamp outside. Coolers, or they call them water coolers. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but.
What else did you do for entertainment when you were out there besides bridge?
Probably bridge.
I know you had to do something else besides.
That's about all we did, frankly.
Cards and stuff. Yeah.
Listen to music, radio. Mm-hmm. Have any radio programs you listen to regularly?
That what?
Radio programs that you listen to.
I don't know if we had a radio program.
No radio.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we had a radio. I doubt there was a station anywhere near.
So who was bridge champion? Was that you?
No, we just, like I say, that was something to do.
Yeah.
We didn't have study clubs or anything like that, like other people had. Yeah. And there usually weren't about four of us that would play bridge. Some of the women didn't play bridge.
What were the husbands doing?
They were teaching.
Oh, they didn't do anything for fun?
Well, no, they did. Like I said, we did have dinner parties in our homes. And they were dinner bridge, was that good? We had that type of thing in the evening, sometimes on weekends. But we didn't do anything during the week.
Are you sure you weren't addicted to the bridge? Did you have a problem with addiction to the bridge? You had a gambling problem?
Oh, no. No, we never did that sort of thing. We just had fun. It was just a social thing.
Well, sometimes some of the people that remember that at era talk about tramps or hobos coming through town looking for food.
I don't think of anything.
Nobody hit Goodwill. No, you didn't have any.
The train ran through town. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't any. They didn't have any tramps or anything. At least at where we lived.
Now, right.
They might have been out in the country or someplace.
Right.
But yeah. They weren't in town.
What about politics of the time? A pretty contentious period.
Not particularly. Now, there was one gentleman, I can't tell you his name now, that was a judge in Diamond. And then he was someplace in the state legislature or something. But other than that, of course, I'm sure that Mr. Morrison, being president, had to play a little bit of politics that we didn't know about.
Yeah. Some strings being pulled here and there or something.
He would know those things, but as far as just the rest of us, we were just ordinary people.
Right. What about views in the academic circle about the New Deal and Roosevelt's actions, all of his government programs and things?
Well, like I say, that's one government program before we went out there. Well, they did have the girls, and I think the boys worked on the farm. They were NYA. Mm-hmm. Those are New Deal things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those kids didn't have money.
Are you and your friends pro-New Deal? Or I know that divided a lot of people.
I don't think we even thought about politics. Now, maybe some of them were smarter than I was. But we didn't talk about them.
Yeah. Well, that's always, something they say you're not supposed to talk about.
Yeah. What if they say you shouldn't talk about politics and religion?
Right. Yep. Always a good fight starters.
Yeah, you don't get those started, so they say. So I don't know, but it's just a very ordinary life as far as I was concerned. Now, there may have been some that were intellectual. Now, I know that my husband did give a book review or two, and I don't remember whether it was just for the campus or I don't remember exactly when it was, what it was, but I guess there were some people who wanted something intellectual.
Right.
Well,
I know now that area is pretty solidly Republican.
Is it?
Yeah, and I didn't know how it was at the time. If it was wavering or was it still Republican or...
I don't even remember voting. I'm sure we did.
You're probably too busy playing bridge.
No, I don't think so. But, really, there wasn't anything else to do.
Right. Well, I know Shelley and I have a friend who just got a job out at Panhandle State. Uh-huh. And when he got that job, I remember thinking, I wish I would have that job. And then I said, no, I don't think so.
Stay out there.
Well, I don't know what kind of life they have now, but this one woman that I corresponded with, at Christmas time only, she seemed to have just an ordinary life. She was a secretary to the registrar, the job she had. I had another friend, the librarian, but she isn't living now either. Now, Mary Lighting here in town came out there later. I don't think she was there during the Dust Bowl at all. She was the home ed teacher.
Did most of the people you associate with out there, were they from the region, or were they brought in like you were, from outside of the area?
We were brought in from outside. In fact, when we went out there, the faculty were probably all new. I think there's one man that held over. But what I think, as I remember what happened was, to get people out there, they just had to take what they could get. This one man, he didn't stay very long, about a year, the one that was left.
Do you remember the pay being, was it better out there to try and entice people out there at all? Was it?
It was.
The pay, your salary, your husband's salary?
Well, it was better, yes, than Guthrie. They offered him more Guthrie not to leave, but this was, he went down to the Capitol and found out what salaries they were paying, and the pay before him, and he found out they'd offered him, that person got more than they'd offered him. He wouldn't be there. He told him he wouldn't be there, but they came up to us.
Oh.
I don't remember, of course. We were at a time when you talk about depression, I think at Bonita, he got $80 a month for 8 months and didn't get all the last time.
Right.
You know, those were the days teachers didn't get paid much.
Right.
So we just, and they got a little bit more, got three, and thought we were rich. I think maybe got $1,200 a year and thought we were rich. No, really. And believe it or not, you lived that way. You didn't suffer.
Right.
Yeah. By today's standard, we might think we had, but I don't think so. We didn't think so.
And then when you went to Panhandles, when you went out there to Goodwill, your pay went up even more.
Well, it went up from Guthrie, yes.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was, but and he might remember, but I don't. Right now, he just, like I was telling him, just what years were we out there? Well, I don't know. I said, well, you could look it up. Since he's 91, he doesn't. He doesn't cooperate as much as
You mean he used to cooperate?
So I don't know, but no, he was head of the Department of Business. He taught it all, accounting, typing, shorthand. They only had one person that was head of the department. It was a one-man apartment.
Yeah. Right.
Department. And that was the way it all of them were, as far as that goes. One chemistry, and I know that that's a lot bigger now. And when I tell you, there was one family out there, those kids were straight A, they knew more than the teachers did. And when he left in the middle of the semester that way, this one young man took his job, and I think he stayed on, later got a master's degree, and maybe a doctor as far as that goes, but he was one of those kind that he knew it all. And his sister, he had a sister out there too, the same way. They were just straight A students.
You remember their names? You know what their names were?
I can't remember now. I know the young man was Frank somebody, but I can't remember his name.
So what would a typical day be like for you when you were living through the Dust Bowls? I mean, would you...
Oh, we'd get up and have breakfast, and he'd go up to campus, and he would come home for lunch, I think, most of the time. They did have a cafeteria. And he'd come home for dinner, and either we'd read at night, or I don't know. I can't remember. Maybe we had a radio. Your dad's about a radio.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things I can't remember that far back. But one of the funniest things was when they had a blizzard. We'd never been in a blizzard before. Now, this wasn't dust. This was snow. We had a front porch. We had about two steps up. And it just covered that porch. You couldn't get down without stepping. He thought they wouldn't have classes. So he stayed home that. He finally went out there up the campus in the afternoon. They'd had classes all morning. Those people, it didn't mean anything. They
used
just
to.
Got out at it. But he was absent. No, we laughed about that several times because we weren't used to that. You know, Stillwater didn't have those things. And, well, I guess they did now sometimes, but Oklahoma City didn't have them. Stuff like that.
Right. It's pretty common out there, the blizzards.
Yeah, but we've always said there's a wind blows out there, there's nothing to stop it.
Right.
It goes across the parish.
Just barbed wire.
Yeah.
Well, we've had wind like that here, I'm so sure, but that was... There are some things to stop it, like buildings.
Yeah, people.
Just like the snow we've recently had, there's some drifts of that, too. So I don't... Yeah. Anyway, I don't... I can't think of anything else that was different.
What do you think, what kinds of things happened to you when you lived in Goodwill that you think changed the way you think about nature or think about, you know, your life?
I guess I just accepted the situation. You know, I could be happy any place I was. And I just accepted that was where we were and we'd make a living and that was what was important.
Do you think living out there helped you to accept adversity?
It could be possible. Now, when we came here, of course, we gave up the apartment, the dormitory, and we were here this about a year and a half, and when we went back, there wasn't any place to live. Now, they built faculty houses. I think they built some before we left, but they built them there. They had a house that was a former president's house, and they made a partition and cut it in half. So we had the front half of a living room that was a living room, dining room, and a little kitchenette, and a bathroom and two bedrooms. And then another couple had the back side, and they had a living room and a two bathroom. Hmm. That was a former president's home. And we decorated that. I think that Marvin McKee was president at that time. I think he found a painter someplace, or else we paint it. We all paint it. And I can remember that I wanted the living room and dining room paper. Well, there wasn't anybody painted paper. And the president, Marvin McKee, and his wife, and my husband and myself, you know how they fold paper up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't know how to do that, so we just strung it out. And the men would be up on the riser thing. Poor Bill and I would be stretching the paper, of course. They'd put it on the wall.
Got the job done.
Did a pretty good job. So I don't know. But I don't know where I told it. There's one church. Methodist Church was the main one, the biggest building. And I think there was a small Baptist church, and that was about the size of the religious areas. Hmm. But I don't imagine there probably weren't many Baptists there.
Yeah, mainly Methodists. It was the big crowd.
And there again, now the church sometimes had covered dish dinners, and they were sometimes in the evening on Sunday evening, and when they had that period in there, more people would go to church at night than they ever went during when they couldn't have food. You know, people go someplace for food.
Right.
But they were social things, and some of the dear sisters didn't approve of some of the games we played.
Such as?
So we had to stop those.
Like what? When did you have to stop doing
it? It may have been bridge and other card games that the men played or something. I don't know. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, there's some people just didn't think you ought to do that. Well, my mother didn't think you ought to play cards on Sunday. And that was in Oklahoma City. But she finally got over that.
Yeah.
She lived 102. She had to accept some things in life.
You tell her, Mom, I'm playing cards on Sunday, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't know what it is out there. But it was, just, you know, those couple dish dinners, they were kind of fun. That was the town getting together.
Oh, okay.
When you talk about the town getting together, that would be the town getting together.
Do you remember any food in particular from those dinners that, you know, like what was the, like would somebody bring, like what was some of the covered dishes that people would bring?
I think probably the same thing we bring here.
Yeah, never. Those things don't change
just
too much.
Whatever you like, you know. Some people like to do certain things, make certain things, and make certain cakes and make salads and stuff like that. Meat dishes.
What did you bring? What was your specialty?
No, you know, it's something you like to do, and you think people enjoy it, and they usually did.
Yeah.
If they didn't like yours, they'd get something else.
What would you bring?
Golly, I don't know, probably vegetables and maybe salads particularly.
Yeah.
That's what I do nowadays. I have a gelatin salad I particularly like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people like it, so,
yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things that you just do.
You remember any events in the town that were like kind of aid or welfare, that things getting together to help people that were less fortunate, like collecting shoes or clothes or things?
No. Now, people in Guyman might have been had that available to them, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But as far as Goodwill went, see, most of them were teachers, faculty, and they could manage those things. And now maybe some of the farm people could do that. I don't know. since I wasn't involved in that type of thing, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure some of those farms had a hard time.
Yeah.
No doubt about that at all.
Do you remember any students dropping out, or like the population of the university falling because of the depression and the?
I don't think so. A lot of those kids were working. They found some jobs on campus or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they like in a women's dormitory. There were girls that cleaned the dormitories.
Yeah.
You know, they'd get richer than they, but it's one of those things that it worked out that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but. No, it was an interesting life, like I said. I'm glad to experience it, the closeness and everything, but since all changed now, I don't think I'd want to. Of course, at my age, I wouldn't have the associations we had in those days. So, when we would be with the university and then that. And I think the faculty gave a play or two, and they used to have the choirs would put on programs and stuff like that once in a while. Those things they did in the university auditorium. Hmm. And the speech teacher and the music teacher, they had a band too, I'm sure. I forgot the band, but I think they have one. So I think most schools have a band, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's just things we all went to. Anything in the whole town, we went to it. They didn't have rodeos or anything like that.
Well, besides the flying chickens. Is there memories that you would most memorable events of the Dust Bowl, or I mean the most that so of your time there
really sticks out? It's
not
arc.
Particularly. I think, like I say, that one trip was the one I remember most, very definitely. When you could sit side by side in the car and not see each other, it was different.
Can't imagine that.
And the people who just accepted it at that time, they just knew that was the way it was. And they hadn't moved on to go west or anything like that. Some did, I know, because some of those farms were deserted. Uh-huh. And I remember those mounds of dust that went over the fences. That would be...
Can't imagine.
If you had a farm out there, you saw your land blown away, that would be a different story.
Right.
But when you had income and really weren't hurting too bad, it didn't mean as much. It didn't bother you as much.
Right.
Except you had to be careful. You didn't breathe the dirt.
I think that would be hard to do for the flying around so
like
much.
I said, when we go any place, even downtown, the grocery store, we just tie our heads up with bandanas and put a bandana across the face. And so we didn't breathe it very much.
That's how you'd go outside with bandanas tied around.
And you're... When Chris and I go together, I'd tie her up too, and you know, just the way it was. So I don't know.
In Goodwell, you had crank telephones?
Yeah.
And so, like, when you would want to make a phone call, you'd crank...
You'd crank it up, and the operator would come on, you'd tell her you want to talk to.
You have to go through the operator to get to the other... Yeah.
The funny part about it is, she lived in a home, had her home, it was in front room of her house, it downtown, and I think... Right in the main part of town. She knew where everybody went. I know one friend kind of called me and she said, "No, I think she's gone someplace. I saw her taking Christine over, the babysitter." So she knew what went on at town.
She's the eyes and the ears of town.
Plus the fact on those phones, you wouldn't have trouble listening in if you wanted to.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know, but no, I guess I don't really know nowadays. But it's a different world, I'm sure, now out there. They built, I don't know how many faculty houses. In fact, this young girl that I sent the clipping to, she said they built several more faculty houses.
I think the town has gotten a lot smaller.
It's possible, it has.
Last I heard, there wasn't much in Goodwell. There was a convenience store, and that was about it.
Had you been there recently, man?
Yeah.
Okay. No, one woman went in and started a dress shop, and she was there for a while, but she didn't have anything you really wanted much. Mm-hmm. And the grocery store was the main hub of society. Mm-hmm. And if they had peanuts out, well, stuff was out in open containers, and if you took a peanut or two, Mr. Raymond said, "That's your grazing rights." didn't anything about it, and he didn't either.
Yeah.
But it's just the way he was. Now, maybe other storekeepers were different, but that was the way Tom was.
And he would get, you say, gifts, boxes of gifts in, and he would go down and start.
Yeah, something like that. No cars, and I don't remember where all he is, but we'd just go down there and browse around and see what we wanted. Open boxes and dig around a little bit.
Now, one thing that brought up to me was, and I've never really thought about this before, so I'm really going out into Boy City, so to speak, but what would you do for presents? Let's say you're out there and your husband's birthday's coming up, and what would you do for a present, or what would he do for you, or your children? Would you make things, or?
I don't think about it, kind of like that. We may have been able to go down and pick up something. We had birthdays, not that much, because I'm a birthday observer person. Except now we've come to the point where you don't need anything, you don't want anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he says you go out and buy anything you want anyway, so why should he try? So I don't know, but it was interesting. As you grow older, your needs aren't the same. So, our daughter is 60-some-odd years old now, but she thinks there have to be presents. Of course, when she was a child, it was, boxes and boxes, and more than what's in, but just rip them open. I'm sure it's the same tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Bless you.
I sat over there at the hospital this morning, and I sneezed, and I sneezed, and I sneezed, and I sneezed. I think I have a cold, technically, but it's just one of those things that happens.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can't think of anything else.
All right.
I can't think of anything else. I think I've covered it all. I think I've covered all the notes I made.
You covered everything very well, I think.
So, now that's the perspective of a person who did not. Wasn't born there and lived there all the life.
That's what I think makes it so interesting, the stories that you tell, is that you weren't from that area. Yeah.
It's just from that time. And
right.
Actually, like I said, when we went back there, it was all, the dust was all not one on the fence anymore. It was green and stuff. I said, I guess they should have paid us to leave it. But they didn't.
Well, I'd like to thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for talking with us.
And helping us out with this project.
It's just a life that I lived and enjoyed.